Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 152, part 2, Lights in Dark Places. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Sunday, June 20th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, and the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
But did they make it through? Did they? Kind of tickled me, they did. Did it tickle you? Did you see the significance in the thing? Don't be surprised. You're not the only one that walks through those kind of things. See, it's not what we see that causes fear so much as that which we don't see. And therefore, we exaggerate it. You can see something in your mind, you know. I see you're going in for a job. And you haven't seen in there yet. And they say, well, you sit down here and you wait over here, see. And you say, well, golly, I'm pretty nice and calm. Praise God. And you're sitting there and, okay, Randy! But you've exaggerated in your mind what it's going to be like. You've exaggerated. You see this guy in there with, you know, the great hair and so on like that and the silk suit on and the great big desk, you know what I mean, and the filing cabinets and the machines. And you exaggerate things in your mind. You get in there and it's a different story, but you've already exaggerated your mind. You can't change your mind now. You start to exaggerate things in your mind, things you can't see. You can exaggerate in your mind if a person likes you or not. Well, didn't say hi to me this morning. Wonder why. Wonder why. Was it because I said that one day? I didn't mean anything by it. Or was it because of this? Or was it because of that? Or was it because you start to exaggerate things in your mind? And you start to build up a great big case. You know what will happen? You'll get psycho. See, it's the things we don't see. Sometimes if you go right to the person and say, did you think that? No, I wasn't even thinking about that. I had a stomachache. The reason I look like that, I needed a Rolaid, all right? Really, it's, a lot of times it's a simple thing. And you build this up in your mind, and Satan helps it build it up in your mind, and pretty soon you're depressed over something you thought was so, or something that you exaggerated in your mind. Did you know that? In the mental wards, there's people all over that have exaggerated. Are you listening in St. Peter? They've exaggerated things in their mind. They get fearful over a thing. One guy I wanted to see was, he was fearful of bacteria. No, don't touch me. Bacteria. He exaggerated it in his mind. You can exaggerate things in your mind. I wonder if they're going to give the job to so-and-so. After I've worked all this time, and after I've been here faithful all this time, they're going to give the job to this guy. I know it. I can feel it. Boss walked by me, he didn't say nothing. Secretary went by me, they didn't say anything. You walk over to the guy you think is going to get a job. Well, go ahead and have a job! And then they call your name. Fred, come on in here. We got good news for you. What'd you do? You build it up in your mind. You didn't have no courage. You didn't have the heart for the thing. You didn't have the smarts for the thing because you build it up in your mind how stupid you were. That's why you got to have the mind of Christ. That's why you got to keep your eyes on the Lord, because things aren't always like they seem to be. Well, one thing I know, I don't know anything. Saving Christ, crucified, buried, risen again. That's all you have to know, because if you know any more, you're going to get into trouble and you're going to start to exaggerate your problems. Why am I in so much darkness? Why am I feeling this way? I hope somebody out there gets healed on this message. Say amen, somebody. Why am I at the hill of difficulty? Why am I in this awful desert? Why is it so dark and foggy in my walk all the time? But anyway, when the darkness lowers down upon the believer's mind, it's a great trial to his heart. And he cries out, "Where am I? Why can't I get rid of this thing? Why can't I get rid of this lust? Why can't I get rid of this smoking? Why can't I get rid of this thing? Why? Shut up and you'll get your answer. Sometimes you talk right through the answer. You've exaggerated so much you can't get through that thick wall of exaggerations. But how did I get here? And if I am a child of God, why this? Did I really repent? Now you start to doubt. Was I ever in the light? And did I ever escape from the darkness of sin? If so, why all this gloom? Why am I feeling like this? Did I ever receive the joy of the Lord at all? Now the love of God doesn't seem to be around at all. How come? And we all question our profession. Every one of us. Because in darkness, he can't even judge his own self, don't you see? And he starts to question truths that have already been proven to him. Do you ever have something proved to you, and the Lord has proved it to you probably 10 times, and now you still doubt it again? And then Satan moves in. Here's how he works. Vile insinuations. Questioning everything. You may even question God's existence. What a message. Well, it's the truth. You'll be walking along all of a sudden, you'll think, I wonder if there really is a God. And people got out from this planet and that planet and this planet, and that's why they all look different. And now somebody will believe that. And you start to doubt God's existence. Are you really there? Where are you? No answer. It's not there, huh? It'll come in due season. Don't worry. Bonk! But Satan moves in and we scream, show yourself, God! Satan's having a field day with me! Then we start to claim things and we start to stamp our faith feet. Did you ever do that? And someone comes up and you're in this siege of darkness and it seems like there's no way out, and they tell him, well, hey, claim your way out of this thing. I claim my way out of this thing in the name of Jesus. Still there. Closes his eyes and opens them up, and he's still there. All right, I didn't say it loud enough. Oh, you guys agree with me now. Everybody get in a circle. I claim this man to be out of this terrible thing in the name of Jesus. And the guy opens his eyes up, they're all gone, he's still standing there. And so he gets more depressed, and so he gets more down, and he gets more doubting God. And he starts to get into these real heavy, where are you, God? I've seen people that do that, and they're coming to church, and they're all happy for about 2 weeks, and pretty soon they don't believe there's a God. Because they happen to be depressed for a couple weeks. Or things didn't go right, or they got an old man that's mean. there's a lot of mean men. Say amen, somebody. They call me all the time. Say amen. I'm not going to start picking on the women. This is Men's Day today. But anyway, it's also sorrowful to be in darkness. Seems like I went one time for about 2 months. It seemed like in total darkness. And I thought to myself, this text also includes providential trials of all sorts, temporal circumstances. Your business is good, and all of a sudden it's going downhill. Well, God, what's happening? I blessed everything over here. I blessed the pumps. Bless these pumps, Lord. Bless them. Bless this rack that lifts these cars up. And that broke. Bless these pumps, Lord. 2 of them are working out of 6. Bless this and bless that and bless this and bless that. Bless that and bless this. No, look at, bill collectors. All the bills are coming in. Who's going to pay these bills? Where are you? That's what people are getting into right now, aren't they? All these hyper-faith people. Now people are wondering what happened. But now they're too proud to admit it didn't work. And they're stuck with the payments on this Cadillac that God gave them. Oh, Lord bless me. I got an Eldorado. Oh, yeah? I got a Tornado with a front-wheel drive. It's as good as your car any day. The reason I claimed it is because I didn't want an Eldorado. You get what you ask for, right? Yeah, you certainly do. The payments on that thing are $450 a month, buddy. That's where it got them, didn't it? That's where it got them. Oh, yes, we claim this. And they get in these great big houses and write these faith checks out. How much was it? What's the down payment? $10,500? Rip. We got the money in the bank, honey? It'll be there. Where's your faith? About 2 weeks later, it didn't come. It's holding on to the bars. Well, God, where are you in this circumstance I'm in? Yet some of us are happy in adversity than they are in prosperity. I'm kind of like that in a way. I move better under pressure than I move when there's no pressure. If there is no pressure at all, I don't move. When there's a lot of pressure, I mean, you know, oh no, and I'm really going to get it now. But I have to say this, when there's a lot of pressure, greater is he that's within me than he that's of the world. And God got to get all the glory out of the thing. But I think it's all right. There's some of us that can have, it's called a stronger faith. And there's sometimes you get a stronger faith from God. There's nothing you have of yourself. But you get a stronger faith from God and you like the trials somewhat. When you're out of the trial, when you're out of the tribulation, you're kind of walking around waiting for it to come. Well, what next? Some people say, what next? But you know what happens then? Now the real darkness comes. And our very evidences of grace are no longer visible. Now that's spooky. The conscience starts to pronounce you as guilty. Because there's no evidence of grace around now. It's like God moved out of town. You said you like trials, Paul? Okay, I'm going to remove myself. Now, this is a real heavy trial for you. There will be no evidences of my grace whatsoever. And the psalmist says like this, we see not our signs. Now you start self-examination. You start to examine yourself. Well, let's see, what did I do wrong? There must be something wrong. Nothing's happening. Well, let me go back and try to correct this thing. Well, the Bible says, turn not back. Press forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ. Well, something went wrong because this ain't happening and that ain't happening and the money didn't come in and this didn't happen and that didn't happen. It seems like God isn't even around. Then some evil might be revealed. And you start to become dismayed. And you say, my heart is made of stone. You become dull and dead and stupid and unfeeling. Have you become that way in your Christian walk? But at this time, the Holy Spirit suspends his comfort and quickens his operations just at the point of your death. It comes in at the last minute, like the Lone Ranger. I'm telling you like it is. But we read the Bible, but we are not cheered by its promises. Oh, I need to get in the Word. That's what's wrong. And you're reading the Word. No, it didn't do nothing. You come to church and we sing like we have a mouthful of cod liver oil and cold oatmeal in our mouth. It doesn't mean nothing. We sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All together. That didn't do anything. What's going on? The worship service is fantastic. And you just sit there with your arms folded. Bible study, a lot of truths came forth, didn't do nothing for you. Fellowship, you had fellowship after and people come up, hi, I haven't seen you in a long time. And you smile back, yeah, I haven't seen you. It's so good to see you. Didn't do anything for you. Testimony time, a guy gets up. Oh, and this happened and that happened. Praise the Lord. And you sit there. Praise the Lord. So-and-so got saved, a brand new conversion. No effect. All these things have no effect on you. Our innermost rivers, it seems, are dry. Now Satan moves in to cut your throat. I'm sure many of you can look back on your walk and can say, just like that, what I'm saying here, we went weeping and going forth, weeping, it says in the Bible, bearing precious seed. But also, when you get into this darkness is bewildering. You have to walk, yet your way is hidden. We seem to have left, but with no candle. And you start to say, how will God ever deliver me? And you're headed up the river. And you're going to crash. There's no turning back, no way out. Many times there seems to be no way out. And you start to say, what is right, Lord? Which way, Lord? But we have no excuse. If we walk in darkness and see no light, none. The walk must go on. We must learn to wait on the Lord and stay waiting on the Lord. Having done all, stand, the Bible says, for the dawning light, and this is what the Lord told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In that circumstance, when it seems like the grace of God has left, which it can't, when it seems like there is nothing but darkness that surrounds you, when your friends have left, when it seems like everything is going wrong, when innuendo and slander meet you, when all of these things happen, and persecution and all these things happen, what happened to Jesus? And I'll hear it. Your walk must go. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Psalm 27 and 1 says like this, the Lord is my light, listen, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, this is taking possession. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Listen. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now you're grabbing a hold of God for yourself. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now it goes into the future. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now we're getting into the future. Now we're moving on. Now we're able to go forth because we're looking towards a future happening. Well, why am I afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my portion, so I'm going to go on. Sometimes I think people poke their heads out of these like little rat holes and they got their little whiskers sticking out to see if there's any trouble out there. And if nothing's out there, they come out. If something's in, they poke their head back in again. They don't want to get in any kind of a trial. Either you go all the way with the Lord or you don't go at all. I mean, you just can't poke your head out and say, I give up. No. Maybe you're in a valley right now. Maybe hissing spirits on either side. Maybe the howling dogs of hell are snapping at you. So dark that your sword becomes useless, and the more you swing it, the more you wear yourself out. You can't see nothing. And your only weapon is prayer. Whew. You might be able to say this today, well, I'm not feeling that way right now today, but it's going to happen. You're going to soon be called to travel that road. Every one of us is. Well, what should I trust in during this time? And the Bible says, trust in the Lord, lean ye not upon your own understanding. Whew. Many may leave you during this time. You hearing it? During this time of trial, during this time of dryness, during this time of everything, all these different gloomy things and feelings and so on like that, maybe a lot of people might even leave you. Trust in the I Am. He is always the same, the Bible says. He says, I am the rock of your salvation. Be still and think back on all your other deliverances and say, oh, I remember this and I remember. Recollect. Remember. Rejoice in past victories. Shout them from the dark dark place you're in right now, look into the word about David, his little knees knocking, standing there with these stones and a little slingshot. Think about that. Think about Samson. Think about all these different heroes in the Bible. Think about Paul. Think about Peter. Think about Jesus. Whistle if you have to. You're in a dark place. Do you ever have to whistle sometimes? Sometimes your gut's churning, you know, even in the physical, but now we're talking spiritual, and you just don't know what's happening. You're sort of paranoid. You think, well, now this person don't like me, that person don't like me. And the more you build this up in your mind, the worse it's going to get. You'd be walking down the street, and I've had cases that come in, like walking down the street, and they didn't even know that person. Oh, see there, that guy didn't smell me. And the dog barks, even the dogs are barking at me. Nobody likes me. And the guy revs his car. Vroom! You look at the car like, what's wrong with you? Does it sound kind of weird? It is the truth. Maybe one of the little grandkids goes to one or the other, grandpa or grandma. Oh, see? Favorite. Grandma's favorite leaves me out. Never did like that kid anyway. It's a brat. When you start to build these things. And pretty soon you've put yourself in a real prison. Are you hearing this? How many has this happened to in here? Well, put your hand up. It's happened to you where you had your days when you thought, God, doesn't anybody love me? What's wrong with me? And it's a real dark place too, isn't it? Seems like I can't even smile. I just smiled at them. And then you go in and look in the mirror and see if you smelled right. Huh? Does it sound nutsy to you? It's the truth. Woo. I'm telling you right now, I am can be whatever that you need. Throw the I am at the devil. Throw the I am. Get the Lord in front of the thing. His grace, it says, is sufficient. And the word says, let him stay upon his God. Let him lean upon God. Let him be his prop. Let him be his rest. But we're always being tried in the earthly furnace, purified seven times to be like silver. Why should we trust in God at these times? I'll say this, because if God has taken away the light and is trying us so very severely, why should we trust in Him now? Because if you don't trust in Him right now, you will have cause to suspect whether you ever trusted in Him at all. Well, did I really trust in the Lord? Or was that just, it just happened that way? When all is going well, when your kids are all around you and you had plenty of money and you had a nice home and you had a nice car and you said, I have faith in God. But now you're old. Now your kids are busy or they're dead. Now your home is gone and you're sick and you're poor and your heat is off and you're eating dog food. Was it faith in God at all? Wasn't it a cheerfulness which arose out of your surroundings, you say to yourself? Now that all this has disappeared, maybe it was just a figment of my imagination. Let me tell you something. If you cannot bear to be stripped like Job, how precious is your faith? I mean stripped. Can you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? See, we're bound to trust in the Lord now in the time of darkness. Because his promises were made for dark times. His promises are made for dark times. See, if you read him in the light, and when everything is, oh, golly, this is great. Oh, look at this. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. I just happened to open the Bible up. Now is the time for the testing of your faith. Now is the time to believe and trust in the Lord. In the very darkest, in the very gloomiest, in the very doesn't look like nothing's ever going to work out in your life, and most times when it doesn't look like nothing's happening, everything is happening. It's the darkest just before the dawn, and things are ready to break in your life. Now is the time to say, praise the Lord, I'm going to believe. And though that he slay me, yet will I believe. Well, I mean, isn't the ship built for hard times? Does it just sit in the dry dock there, not to be used only on fair seas? No, no, not at all. It's built for stress. And so are you. Every blood-bought Christian, when he is born again, and he is built for stress, persecution, trial, and afflictions. It's like your car or like your house or like your building. How do you know it's worth anything? By the way that the sun shines on the thing? No, by the way it stands under storms and darknesses. Are you hearing this? Would you buy a house if you were told, well, it's all right, unless you have 15, 20, maybe even 18 mile an hour winds? Now, we don't know what will happen in those winds. I mean, some of the domestic arguments we have would blow the house down. Say amen. Well, I don't think the roof will leak unless it rains, you know. We haven't really tried the thing. And your car will be okay unless you turn a corner a little fast, and then the wheel might come off. You know, pick up the phone, give us a call. But don't take off too suddenly with the thing. What's the matter with you? Don't treat a car. Don't take off so sudden. You might drop the whole rear axle on the thing. No, they are engineered for tough times. They are road tested. They are put in freezers. They are put through the desert. They were put through this run they have in the desert there. They are taken up into the cold climates and up into the mountains. They work these cars over and they are tested. Trial runs and testings. They're going to show God is what you's made out of. Here right now we have a permit especially issued for you to allow you to trust in darkness. God says, let him trust. And Satan says, don't trust. Who do you believe? This verse right here says, stay yourselves upon God. Whew. That's like when your ship comes into bay. You drop your anchor. What I've said here today, folks, is for us right now to start trusting in the Lord. We're into some real, real heavy times. We're into times where it seems like there is no... It says in the Bible, give us our daily bread. Now that comes alive to me right now. Because every day, it seems like every day I have to have just enough money to make it. Every day I go to the mailbox and there's just enough money in there. Or somebody comes in, there's just enough money to make it. Lord, give us our daily bread. That prayer is so alive to me. Right now I think in my faith walk here, I'm becoming more rooted and grounded in God than I ever have been before. Because I know that God is able to keep me under that hour. I know that right ahead, maybe only a mile ahead, there's a light. My heart is starting to leap right now. There's some breakthroughs in this ministry that have never been before. God has shown a man to give us unlimited, now listen to this, unlimited warehouse space, free. You realize what that means? That is the opening up of the door for food to start flowing into Minneapolis like never before. The very darkest hours in your ministry, you listening out there, just before the dawn, just before something happens. I mean, sometimes I have to pinch myself. I don't believe it. Ouch! Oh, how great it is when that light comes. You've gone through all those things. You say, my God, where are you? I'm so gloomy. I'm so depressed. I am so down. Seems like I'm in darkness, but the Bible tells us we will have those times. This is not a surprise. If you receive what I've said here today, you listening on tape or radio, you in here today, receive what I've said here today, you are going to have those times because the Bible says you are going to have those times. So what? You can rejoice that the Bible tells the truth. The Bible tells the truth. Well, we all know that, don't we? But you know what? When you go through, you'll get the full joy of the Lord. Isn't that what we all want? Don't you want the joy of the Lord? Don't you want the peace? Doesn't it give you peace that God forewarns you that these things are going to happen? They're going to be there. But inside, if you learn how to do this walk, inside you, in your innermost being, it says, in those very dry times, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. And you'll never know it works until you go through those trials and you go through those hills of difficulty and you go through all, how do you know it's going to work? It has to be road tested. Now it says we're running a race and we're headed on this road. And that's not the yellow brick road. It's the road. You're headed on this road. You're going to have trials and afflictions and all these things, but God is able. And inside of you, when you know that, and you know that God is the one that's going to help you to overcome, you're going to have peace in your life. Isn't that what you want, is peace in your life? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Mm-hmm. Now, you've been going through some trials, haven't you? Okay. And you've been going through some trials, haven't you? Now, this message had to do something for you today. It showed you that you're not the only one that has them, and that God favors you in allowing you to go through them. See? So that you have some kind of a ministry to tell others. I mean, what kind of a person would we be if we didn't go through anything? We wouldn't have a message to give anybody. Praise the Lord. We wouldn't be able to tell anybody. We wouldn't get no comfort at all. Someone that's raised a whole lot of kids, and this kid, this happened and that happened and so on like that, then they can look out there and say, yeah, the same thing happened to me, but you know, God is able. But you're going to have to go through this thing all by yourself between you and the Lord. Because if I help you, I won't help you. Sometimes you have to allow people to do the thing by themselves. Well, you naturally have to. Because in the end, it's going to have to be you. It's going to have to be the inward strength that God gives you. I can't help you. I can give you a witness and I can tell you. But you wouldn't believe it anyway. But I can tell you and encourage you. And you know what will happen? You'll be encouraged by it, and you'll start to walk in your faith walk. And they're kind of little steps at first, and your legs are kind of shaky and so on like that. But the little about a month later, we come, and here you are walking out the road. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make it. And the Lord is going to deliver you out of your present trouble right now too, honey. Lord, we just lift up this sister right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Bind every hindrance in her life. And Lord, just show her right now that she goes through these things, and Lord, you are faithful to be there. That's where you are. You are in the dark place. Your light shines out of the darkness. Lord, we're coming in to find you right now. In that time of trouble, in that time of distress, in that time of wandering and affliction, Lord, in that time of doubting, right now we know our God is able, and we're going to come in and find you. Lord, where are you? And we're going to just keep hunting, Lord. And we're going to see you at that light shining forth out of the darkness. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today to find out that your light shineth out of the darkness, and that's where you are, Lord. Thank you for this walk and thank you for this life. And Lord, we'd right now bind Satan and would hinder in any way. Give him none of the glory. Give him nothing. In Jesus' name, we know our God is able. And Lord, thank you for this walk that you're giving this sister, that she may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she may, Lord, learn and grow in faith right now, that she may pick up the plow and not turn back, but be encouraged that there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can condemn you. Conviction, yes. Condemnation, no. That you are justified in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Did you hear that? You are justified right now, and you're not condemned right now. Did you hear that? And, you know, you two get together, and you pray together, and you start shouting the victory. And you know, don't make it a false thing, you know. But just say, Lord, I'm going to go through this thing because you put me in. I'm going to go through it. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes it's only a two-second thing. Sometimes it's 2 weeks, and sometimes it's 2 years. But who cares? As long as God is with you, who can be against you? I have been in situations down here where it took like 2.5 or 3 years to go through them things, but I get busy doing other things. All I get over here and I know this thing has got to happen, and I start doing other things. And I get my mind off of this great big thing, and pretty soon this great big thing is done, and it doesn't make it. And the Lord says, okay, I want to bless you back. I said, oh, Lord, that's okay. Give it to somebody else because I don't need it right now. The whole total deliverance is give your life to gain your life and get your eyes on other people. You take your eyes off yourself and put them on this sister. You take your eyes off yourself and put them on her and other people, and that's your deliverance. That's giving your life. Well, what is your life? Well, your life, and I'm just talking to you two here. Your life is living within yourself. You've got to give yourself. Give your life. What are you giving up anyway? What do any of us give up when we give our life? A miserable bag of trouble. I got plenty of trouble, trouble's plenty for me all, huh? Give it over. Give your life to gain your life. That's why I want to completely start to give my life in the service of Jesus Christ for others. Because it just gives me nothing but trouble. God gives me a lot of trouble. Doesn't it? Give your life to gain your life. Even if you have to drag your life in. Oh, God. I'm going to give my life. You know what will happen? You walk out. You've gained your life. The whole total Christian thing is give, and it shall be given unto you. Go with your tears.